Friends, our Advent theme for today is that of hope. And in fact, our gathering at the Lord's table is a representation of the hope that we have together in Christ. Now, no one is as desolate as the one who has given up all hope. For if all hope has been given up, that individual even ceases to do what they could do or should do for themselves. And the same is true for people, that if hope is lost, then even relief is spared them because they aren't looking any longer. And Advent is about hope being restored. Israel lived through long generations of hope. And sometimes they lived through those times faithfully, trustingly. Other times they lived through those days with in fact, having abandoned hope and abandoned God. The struggle in Old Testament times was to keep trusting in the promises of God, for their hope really rested not on what they could do, but their hope rested on what God had promised that he would do for them. Now, the interesting thing is that the struggle for us who live in the New Testament era, this side of Christ's coming in time, the struggle for us is to keep trusting in the promises of God, for our hope rests in his promises also. In that sense, the importance of hope has not been diminished, even though in many ways the circumstances and the surroundings of hope have been changed. There have been great powerful demonstrations of the Lord's faithfulness, but yet it's still the same for us. If we abandon hope before God, then all we have is despair. And if we abandon hope, then we don't even see as God reaches out toward us. That, in fact, is why the scriptures are filled with references to hope. And I'm going to take you through a few of those references this morning. In fact, we actually began the candle lighting with these words from Psalm 33. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our strength and our shield. But listen, the Psalms are peppered with references to hope. Now, I'm not going to read them all for you, but I want to put some of them in front of you. If only to illustrate how frequently the theme of hope emerges and is repeated, because how crucial it was that hope not be lost. The psalmist says in Psalm 42, "Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my help and my God." And if I, in the opening, added another verse, I would have read, "We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name." Listen to these words from Psalm 71. "For you, O Lord, are my help," pardon me, "my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth. But I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteous acts and of your deeds of salvation all day long. Though their number is past my knowledge, I will come praising the mighty deeds of the Lord God. I will praise your righteousness, yours alone." You see, even when other aspects of the promises of God still awaited fulfillment, the psalmist is saying, "I have my hope, and I want to tell everybody I can about what the Lord is doing and has done and will do." How about this from Psalm 130? "I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits, and in his word I put my hope." How important the psalmist felt it was to come back again and again to this theme of hope, because if people relinquished their sense of hope, all was lost. Well, that'll have to do for the Old Testament side of things. But I want to take you on into the New Testament and a few things that are mentioned there about hope, because the theme isn't dropped, even though God has in Christ fulfilled the promise that we might think is central to what the people in Old Testament times were awaiting. Listen to this. Paul writes to the people in the church in Rome, and he says, "Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God." And not only that, "but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us." You know, the hope needs still to be exercised, because, yes, wonderful promises of God were fulfilled in the arrival of his incarnate Son, but there are yet things to be fulfilled in God's promises that form our hope. And as Paul says, even in the midst of suffering, our suffering produces hope, because we know that our hope will not disappoint us because God's love has been poured out into our hearts. Let me try another verse from Romans on you. Paul, in that same letter in chapter 8, expresses it this way, "But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently." You know, there's always in our physical sojourn things to wait for in the providence of God. And we do that with a sense of hope, and we do that in a spirit of patience. Oh yes, and it was in that same passage in Romans 8 that Paul added, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." Well, I don't want to go on too long here, but I want you to get the point that hope is a major, major theme in the scriptures, Old Testament and New Testament. And it is that because it is so crucial to living the faith. Because if we lose our sense of hope, then what happens to us? One more, Romans 12. "Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all." And all of that flows from rejoicing in hope. And there's a wonderful prayer at the beginning of Paul's letter to the Colossians. He says, "We have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that you have for all the saints. Because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, you have heard of this hope before in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you." And isn't that our situation? We know about this hope. It's part of what has been proclaimed to us, what is recorded in the scriptures for us. And yet, it remains crucially important that it not slip away from us, nor diminish in value in our understanding of what faith is all about. Last verse from the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 6. "We who have taken refuge in Christ might be strongly encouraged to seize the hope set before us. We have this hope, a sure and steadfast anchor to the soul." Now, friends, we come to the table. The table represents our hope. You know, the account of the Last Supper is almost a strange one in a way. I say strange because in the days leading up to that Passover meal, Jesus had been explaining to his disciples the things that were soon to happen. And they couldn't really wrap themselves around what he was telling them. They couldn't accept it. They couldn't believe that these things could happen, because Jesus had told them that he would be accused and arrested and beaten and crucified. And they just could not understand how those things could befall the Lord's Messiah. And yet, they come to the table quietly, confidently. They're there to celebrate Passover, to remember God's grace through the generations in their midst. In fact, the strange part is that when Jesus at the table says that one of them will be his betrayer, they're almost more concerned that the finger will be pointed at them than that it will happen. It's kind of bizarre. But there was, you see, with them a sense of security in the Lord's presence. They were with him. Everything was okay. And when we gather at the table, part of what we're doing is remembering that past, that meal, what it represented. And we receive the elements of bread and wine as a remembrance and a reminder. But it's also, you see, a gathering in which there is a sense of anticipation. Because the story does not end at the table. The story goes ahead and goes forward. And yes, Christ is crucified. But then, Christ is risen from the dead. And God's gift of the Spirit is bestowed on his people. And we now are in another season of waiting for all of God's plans to be fulfilled. And for our hope to be fulfilled. So come to the table with a sense of thanksgiving for what the Lord has done for you, but also with a strong sense of hope for what the Lord is doing and will yet do for his people. And I end this meditation with another verse from the New Testament. 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter wrote, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. This is your hope. Cling to it. Live in it. Rejoice in it. Thanks be to God." Amen.